ever since Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced that he would not be seeking re-election for one of the most important jobs in the United States, mayor of the city of Chicago, that more people raced to enter their names. But there were people who were already in the race, Andrea. And we actually talked to our next guest, Lori Lightfoot, who was someone you introduced me to.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Lori Lightfoot declared early on. And there were 21 candidates running for mayor.
Right now?
At one point. No, that was at the very beginning.
It's so many. And I believe petitions were due today.
Yes, petitions were due today.
And I'm pretty sure. Hello, Lori. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, ladies. How are you?
Very well. How did the petition gathering, the signature gathering, go for you?
You know, it went great. And we filed this afternoon. And it was a really humbling moment to think about this little kid from Ohio who grew up in tough circumstances, having her name on the ballot for mayor of the greatest city in the country. So it was just an amazing experience. And my spouse and my daughter were there with me, along with a lot of the people who made it happen. So it was a great moment.
I believe Andrea right now is trying to put together how many other people gathered signatures. And I'm curious, when you are gathering signatures, I mean, obviously you're out there, you know, knocking on doors at train stations, out on corners as people with heavy traffic. What kinds of conversations have you had with people from Chicago? What are they concerned about? And what have you tried to tell them about what your platform is?
Well, you know what? There's a couple of consistent themes that I experience in going through the petition process. One is that people are definitely hungry for change. I think they're sick and tired of the same old, and politicians showing up at election time, making a bunch of promises, but never delivering. So that resonated with me very deeply because I believe in the same thing. You know, and then beyond that, I think that there was, you know, every issue that you can think about, I've talked about everything from, of course, violence and affordable housing and municipal finance and taxes to, you know, what are your positions on animal welfare and, you know, other issues that don't necessarily rise to the top of the list. But, you know, look, people feel very deeply and passionately about their city, about their neighborhood and about their community. So it was a tremendous, you know, ongoing dialogue with people as we were going through the petition gathering process.
Lori, you were in early, and I know that the deadline was today at 5:00, but you were one of the first, I would say, three or four to say, I'm going to go ahead and do this. What are your thoughts on those who have either, and I'm not saying anyone specifically by name, but just the idea of those who waited to declare until after Rahm Emanuel said he wasn't going to run, or even those, you know, as recently as a week or two ago?
Right. Well, I mean, there's a couple things, right? One is they either thought that the city was operating just fine, or they didn't have the courage to take on Goliath. And they only showed up after the rest of us had slayed Goliath and drove him from the ballot. And I think that's a point that people just are struggling with, is if you really care about your city and you really feel like you can be a change agent and really articulate a vision that's different, then why be silent? Why wait until it's politically expedient? And as you well know, there are a couple of people that were running simultaneously for different offices. Mm-hmm. So they were saying to the voters, yeah, vote for me for this, but I'm not really going to occupy this office because what I really want is this little shiny object over here. This is the third largest city in the country. There's a lot of greatness about our city, but there's also a lot of huge challenges that the next mayor is going to be absolutely called upon to take up, whether from municipal finance, getting our pensions straight, dealing with the crime, our public schools, and on and on and on. And if you don't have the courage of your convictions to stand up and be accounted for, you can't do this job. And that's my belief, but that's also something that I've heard from people all across the city over and over again.
Well, you mentioned that you grew up in Ohio, and, you know, Chicago is very much a, hey, you're not from around here kind of place in many ways. How have you worked to become one of, the people from the community? What has been your experience for those who are not familiar with your work in the city of Chicago?
Well, look, I've lived here for 32 years, right? I was lucky and got a full scholarship to University of Chicago Law School. I practiced law for a number of years. Then I went on to be a federal prosecutor in the criminal division of the U.S. Attorney's Office here, took on public corruption, took on corrupt police officers, and then just worked in violent crime and working to make neighborhoods in the city and this district very safe. Worked at the Chicago Police Department and investigated allegations of police misconduct, police-involved shootings. Went to the city's 911 center and helped lead a lot of efforts on homeland security and dealing with natural and man-made disasters. And then my last tour of duty at the city was the city's procurement department. I came in to clean up the mess that followed the exposure of the Duff case. Remember Jim Duff, who pretended that he had a woman-owned business and put up his elderly mother as the front? So I've taken on a lot of tough challenges, both in my professional life and also in my volunteer life as president of the Chicago Police Board and leader of the Police Accountability Task Force. So if you're looking for somebody who's independent, who has taken on tough challenges and proven herself, but in part because I believe very, very deeply in bringing in and engaging people whose lives are going to be affected by public policy, bringing them to the center first before we start the dialogue. If that's something that interests you in a very different vision of government and the relationship between government and people that isn't tied to the machine, isn't tied to special interests, then I'm your candidate.
Lori, your name, as well as Bill Daley, Paul Vallis, Susana Mendoza, mm-hmm. Tony Preckwinkle, these are very, in my opinion, this is the most crowded field of big names and recognizable names that I've ever seen in my experience in being in mm-hmm. this business and from Chicago as well. What sets you apart? What should people look for when they see your name? They should say, you know what, these are your top priorities. What sets you apart from all of these other big names?
Well, I think that the difference for me is that I'm independent, and that I really do believe that you can't operate city government by acting upon people. I think you've got to put people first, really focus on equity and inclusion, and my independence and not being afraid to take on tough challenges. I've been working very hard in the space and recently of trying to reform the Chicago Police Department, but you know, you said it at the top of the discussion. I jumped into this race in May when Rahm was still in the running, when things are looking bleak for people in our neighborhoods, and I didn't shy away from the challenge. So I'm a person who believes that you have to do the right thing, you have to stand up and be accounted for, and I think that independence and willingness to take on the tough challenges and also having the experience and the bandwidth to do it, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I can do that. But they don't have any track record of success. They don't have any track record of experience. I do. And I think that's the thing that sets me apart. I'm not tied to the past. I'm very much focused on the vision of the city for the future.
We are talking to mayoral candidate Lori Lightfoot. We have more questions, if you don't mind, Lori, coming up after this break, if you could hang out with us a little bit longer.
Yeah, of course.
And we encourage texters and callers, if you want to join the conversation, if there's something you want to know. We have Lori Lightfoot on the line. You can call us at 312-981-7200. Again, that number to call or text is 312-981-7200. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Funny, because Sarah should play this song coming back, because Andrea and Darlis and I off the air were talking about there's only ever been one woman who's been the mayor of Chicago, Mayor right. Jane Byrne, who actually won after Mayor Blandick goofed, dropped the ball.
With the
so
snow.
Poorly handled the snow in 1979.
Mm-hmm. And no female governor.
No, we've never had a female governor.
Crazy.
And it's sort of strange because we're pretty progressive, or, you know.
I think so.
We're pretty forward-thinking state.
Yeah.
And joining us on the line is one of the candidates for the office of mayor for the city of Chicago. Lori Lightfoot joins us. Lori, is it strange to you that we haven't had any other female mayor since Jane Byrne, or before even?
Yeah, I think that the fact that we've had such a long history of the city and that we've only had one female and only a one-termer, I think really doesn't speak well for where we are. But look, I think this is our year. This is our opportunity to make history in a lot of different ways. And there are a number of women that are on the ballot, and I hope to be the one who gets over the threshold as a victorious candidate. But I've heard from a lot of people, it's time for us to have change. It's time for us to have a woman. So I think the opportunity is absolutely there.
There's a texter who wants to ask, because I have questions that might get to the, well, there are a couple things that we want to talk about, but in particular, 773 says, I know there's a lot of waste in city government. I have friends in the Board of Election, the Board of Education, pardon me, the Board of Education, the Police Department, Streets and Sanitation. There's a tremendous amount of waste. What will you do specifically to fix those issues?
Well, I'm very focused on the fact that we are squandering literally tens of millions of dollars every year. We don't have a risk management system in our city, which means that we don't have anybody whose job it is every single day to identify the waste, to identify the fraud, and do something to mitigate the risk and the fraud and abuse. So one of the first things I'm going to do is appoint a risk manager and make sure that that person has all the resources that he or she needs to be able to do their job effectively. And again, as somebody who's worked in city government, myself, I know where a lot of the, frankly, bodies are buried. So I'm going to be very focused on making sure that we're trimming the fat. But we have a lot of hard choices we're going to have to make when it comes to municipal finance and dealing with our pension crisis. We can't go to taxpayers and ask for more if we can't demonstrate to them that we are going to be prudent fiscal agents of their hard-earned tax dollars. We can't say that now, but we'll be able to say that once I'm the mayor.
Lori, question for you. This actually, I was going to ask you a question along these lines as well, so I'm going to defer part of this to the texter. COPA, IPRA, obviously Police Oversight Board, keeps they keep changing their names. Are you going to change the name along with their responsibilities? None of them seem to work as designed. What will you change? And my follow-up to that would be, A, are you going to keep them? And on a day where we buried a Chicago police officer today, would some see you as being more anti-police?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at my record, the things that I have been advocating for a long time are making sure that our police department has legitimacy and integrity. Why is that important? It's important that people trust the police. It's important that people who are most in need of policing services, particularly in very crime-plagued neighborhoods on the south and the west side, believe that the police are there to help them. And you've got to break down those barriers and create trust. But you can't create trust if the police are not viewed as legitimate. And one of the things that I hear over and over, and I know from my own experience, is they want to make sure that officers who are intentionally engaged in misconduct are held accountable. Look, we're spending, in the last 7 years, over $500 million and counting in settlements and judgments related to police misconduct. And you can't blame that on opportunistic plaintiffs or plaintiff's lawyers. We have a big systemic problem that must be addressed. Having been a part of law enforcement and worked with really good police officers, and knowing that most of them come on the job for the right reason and remain on the job for the right reasons, we've got to give them the support by, frankly, weeding out their colleagues who are just not fit for duty. And that's something that we do that, we are going to support police officers and not harm them. Another thing that I've been a huge advocate for, and I particularly in light of the fact that we've had a number of police suicides this year, is making sure that we have an officer wellness program that is worthy of the Chicago Police Department in the city. Right now, we have 3 counselors for 12,000 sworn officers.
Right, and 3 suicides in 3 months.
Right, and you cannot justify that lack of commitment and resources for officers who are themselves experiencing lots of trauma, lots of stress every single day. They deserve to have the resources that they need. And when they're stressed and they're overtaxed, there's no way that that's not going to show up in the way that they discharge their responsibilities every day on the street. So those are the things that I'm about. I'm about making sure that we've got a best-in-class police department. I want to have the best police department in the country, and one that really recognizes that having the community on your side is every bit as powerful a tool as a gun in your badge.
As important to communities as the police department is, obviously a lot of people are concerned about education. And the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Emanuel, closed over 50 schools on the south sides and communities that are already destabilized by the, you know, not having access to economic opportunities in many ways. And then charter schools are also seen as a drain on the communities or on schools that maybe could benefit from the resources diverted that way. There was one CEO of a charter school or several charter schools who was receiving salary that was more than was spent on special education programs. Are there any plans you have when it comes to addressing the issue of charter schools and the way they're run and the effect it has on schools?
Look, I'm a public school kid, right? So I'm very focused on the necessity of making sure that we've got first quality choices of public open enrollment schools in every neighborhood, elementary school and high school, every neighborhood in the city. And because of that, I want to make sure that for the time being, we have a moratorium on charter schools. But charter schools can't be without oversight. It cannot be that we just treat them as another vendor who is supplying widgets. They're educating our children. We're paying them a lot of money. So there's got to be much more oversight over charter schools to make sure that they're delivering on the promises that they made and the contracts that they signed with the taxpayers of the city. That's got to happen.
I think a lot of people appreciate the fact that it is such a deep concern. We also were wondering, there was a guest we had on the show before. Andre, do you remember that night that Todd Belcore was here when he was talking about the amount of investment that goes to, you know, the Riverwalk and downtown real estate and things like that? He mentioned something that really caught our attention, which was, you know, he's looking for a mayor who will be the mayor of all of Chicago, that it makes everyone proud of every neighborhood in the city. What kind of plans do you have in that regards?
Well, that's precisely that, and I know Todd, and I share that sentiment. Look, we have done a lot of great things in the city, and we need to continue doing those things. We need to continue attracting business and making Chicago a well-sought-after tourist destination, but we can't do that and sacrifice our neighborhoods. One of the big reasons I jumped into this race is because I saw the gap between the haves and the have-nots growing, and particularly when you look at the lack of investment and the diminishing quality of life in our neighborhoods. You know, we are a city of neighborhoods. We pride ourselves on our diversity. We pride ourselves on the different, interesting places where people live throughout our city. But we've got to have a neighborhood investment strategy that is worthy of the people of the city, because what we also know is that Chicago remains one of the few metropolitan areas in the country that's losing population. People are leaving the city every single year because they don't see their future here. They don't believe that the neighborhoods are going to be uplifted. They're worried about violence. They're worried about taxes. They're worried about a lot of things that are not being addressed. So we can't survive as a city in the long term if we don't reverse this trend of exodus. And the only way we can do that is to have a comprehensive plan for uplifting the quality of life in neighborhoods.
And Patty and I think we hit our last question. Yes. We agreed on a last question for you, Lori.
Okay.
Only because Bill Daley, Gary McCarthy, and Gary Chico all had to answer this today when they were turning in their petitions.
What are your, I know what it is. You know,
we have to ask you about dibs, where you stand on dibs, especially with all the snow overnight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, look, I recognize that this is a long-standing thing in Chicago. You know, what I would love is that, frankly, we do a better job of cleaning our streets as effectively as possible so people don't have to worry about dibs.
Oh, like,
I get
that.
It when you go out there and you clean out your spot, right? You know, I've seen everything from lawn chairs to
ironing boards,
trash cans, saw horses, small appliances. I mean, it's absolutely insane, right? But I get it. You know, people get out there, they take their snow removal very seriously.
Right.
Well, I will say this, and I was telling Andre that I had an answer for this, too. I agree with everyone. I agree with the people who hate it. I agree with the people who love it. But in my household, what my husband does is he shovels his and the spare. He shovels one for us, dibs for that, and then the other one he just leaves empty for the block.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that is very, very generous. So, and like I said, I really mean it. I'd love to see us have a level of efficiency in streets and sand and clearing the streets, that people don't have to worry about dibs. You know, we were lucky today. It was a big flurry of snow, and then it kind of subsided by midday, and I think we're going to be pretty good for at least the next couple of days. Yeah. But look, it's Chicago. We know the worst is coming, and we've got to have a snow removal plan that gets to the side streets, that doesn't plow people in, and really works much more effectively, so we don't have to worry about dibs.
I agree. Well, we thank you so much, Lori. And I wanted to invite you. I don't know if you've had a chance to respond yet, but the Northwest Side Chicago Mayoral Candidates Forum, which is Tuesday, December 11th at the Copernicus Center, I'll be moderating that and hope that we see you there. I know that you've got a schedule, but just want to reiterate, we'd love to see you there.
All right. No, I think it's on our schedule, so I'll look forward to being there.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks, again, Lori.
Lori Lightfoot. You can find out more. Google her if you want to. You've got to learn about all your candidates. Have a great night, Lori.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.